All right. Go ahead.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Finally, I came home. I find my wife for the time when she was by herself. She built a factory where she said to me when I came, you now have to be a tailor, you're going to be a businessman. And as I saw it, it was a factory where they used to make cloth. And the time goes, to the year my wife was born a son, and everything was good. Then my wife gets sick of, they call it septic typhus, flattened typhus. Typhus, flattened typhus. And my wife died and left me with 6 months, a baby, my son, thank God, which is now 49 years, thank God. And I don't know what to do. I decided to give my son to a woman who she shall take care of him. Because after my wife died, everything what it was is no good for me. I was raw in that business. I don't learn. I thought my wife is going to live and she is going to take care. It's all right. So I decided to start tailoring my own business. In that time, you could have worked in the city because it was revolutionary time. People don't make clothes. They don't have for what to make clothes. In this in the country where the plain people took away from the rich people, they became rich and they have to have good tailors. And they come in and they took me, I not far from my city, 15 miles. I shall make them clothes like I used to make for the rich people. They know I used to make for the rich people.
Well, what did you do with your baby?
So I gave away my baby, like I said, to a woman. She take care of him. And I pay her so much. She is not interested in money. She interested in what they call proviant, flour, butter, potatoes. You can buy for money. They don't sell. So I used to have, because I was working for the, for those people who they have it. Yeah. And beside them, I used to give her money too. But one evening, like I said, I sitting in the country by a rich man. He came from town where I live, Boguslav. And they said, it's going to be, tonight it's going to be a pogrom. A pogrom, it means, they're going to rob everything, they're going to kill. I heard what he said to his wife. So I thought myself, my goodness, I have my kid over there, my son, and I'm going to lay in here and over there is a pogrom. How can it be? I decide not to say nothing, like I never heard Finney what he said to his wife. And to go to mine the 15 miles, at my Vyorst. 15 Vyorst, Russian Vyorst. And I have to go by 12 Vyorst in the woods. 3 Vyorst in the clear. And then I came to my town. And it was about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the evening when he came from the town. So I took my coat and I said to myself, I don't care what is going to be. And woods is not so nice to walk. But that time I don't care for myself. I took my coat and left. I don't know when I reached my hometown. 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, I don't know. But when I came to that woman's house, and I saw my baby laying in a
basket,
and crying. So I called that woman by the name. She is not there, and nobody answer. I find out myself. I thought she left the kid, and she was going to find a place to
hide.
Yeah, but she left
the baby.
Without the baby. So I took my baby and said to myself, where I'm going to go to hide myself? I came because this is my hometown. I know every place. There was a place not far where it was running a small water. And in the water grows
long sticks,
what do you call it? Straw, long.
Yes.
Claws. I didn't know how to call it.
Cattails.
Huh?
Cattails.
Cattails, yeah. So I thought, I'm still in the house, but that woman in the house. And I was figuring, this is the right place. They never taught us people goes to hide over there. It's in the water. Of course, it's not a high water, a low. But I decided to do that. And I came over there. I took my bed and put it in my chest. And my back was in the water and lay down. I knew nobody can see me because it's close together. And I was inside. Make the story short, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, I heard it's quiet. The whole night, I heard everything. But what can I do?
What did you hear all night?
They beat people. They rob. They do everything.
People were crying.
People were crying and yelling. You hear everything. But I was in that place, Lane. But when it started to be light, it was quiet. Nobody there. I figured I'm gonna go out and see. I took my baby. And I saw nothing, nobody's there. I came to that place. She was there, that woman was there. I said to her, you have a nerve. I give you whatever you could have for money. I give you whatever thing, everything you want, money, everything you want, beside money, to eat, to everything, eggs, everything. So, you was hiding yourself and left my baby. When I came, my baby cried. She said to me, if you like to have a mother for your baby, you have to marry that woman. When she said to me that, I said, this is it. I took my baby and come to my sister. He told all about my dad. He said, well, maybe she's right. You marry that second wife that I brought to America. And she was a good mother for my son. And that's the reason why I came to America.
Wanted to escape the pogroms and have a home for yourself. Mr. Langer,
yeah.
Tell me why you came to the United States, and did you have a definite place to come to?
When I married my second wife, I told her we're gonna go to that place where I was in prison by the name of the man who kept me 3 years in his house, Zollinger. We decided to go to Austria because I could live over there and better than my own home. Everything, and they promised me I shall come to them. They like to have me. When I came to Romania, actually the only border where you can go over easier than other places. Sure, you can't go straight. You have to steal the border to go over to Romania. You have to steal cross the border. Yeah, I came to Romania, to Bucharest. And I was going to the Romanian, to the Austrian consul. And a visit to pass the border from Romania to Austria. So he asked me a question, who I am and my name, and I told him. He said, okay, right. Well, who do you have with you? My wife, what is her name? I said, Fage. Her name is Fage. Fanny. Your son, what is your son's name? I told him. He said, you have to wait till I get intact with my officers in Vienna about you, or you can, or they let you in altogether, because their time was not a regular time. It was all over, was revolution. Yeah. Make the story short, I was waiting for tomorrow, and tomorrow I came. He said, you can go. Your son can go, but your wife can go. She have to stay here. I said, why? It's not your wife. I said, well, your wife's name is Elke. He tells me. I said, my wife died, and I married this woman, and her name is, but you can take her. No, you can go. So as soon as he said to me, I have to take my son and leave my wife, I decided to change the whole thing. And I said to my wife, I have to pick a place where I can go. The best place was United States, and I decided the same day I have to go to United States. To go to the United States that time, you have to have a permission. Another word is that time was a quota, and wait for your quota. You know, it took me 3 years till I have the right to go to the United States. I was 3 years in Romania, and I make a very nice living. Romania was a good place for me. I did tailoring. I had for myself a shop. People was working for me. And when my time come, I came to United States.
Did you have a definite place to come to in the United States? To whom did you come?
I came to my sister-in-law.
And she lived here in the United States?
She lived in the United States in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. So, when I came to Pittsburgh, I knew I have people near Taylor's, which I was working for an uncle of those people who were in Pittsburgh, Schellhaus brothers. When I used to work in Vienna, the uncle used to tell me, I have nephews, Taylor's, big Taylor's in Pittsburgh. And he used to write to them when I left. We were talking all the time, when you, sometimes you are traveling, if you're going to be in America, you shall know. So I find them, and I came to them, and they said, Wolf, they know me for my name, Wolf, because they in Germany, they used to call me Wolf. You have a place to work, you have done nothing, this is for you the place.
Tell me, Mr. Langer, when you were traveling, did you come with a group or did you come alone?
By myself.
All by yourself. How did you travel?
I traveled from Romania to Schatzburg, from Schatzburg.
On what did you travel?
I traveled with the White Star Line.
What's that?
White Star Line, a ship.
Oh, a ship.
The ship was Amerik, and I traveled 4.5 days.
And how did you travel when you came to the United States?
I came to New York, and I sent a telegram, and the same day I was in Pittsburgh.
And who met you?
My sister-in-law met my brother-in-law.
Did you bring anything with you when you came to the United States?
Yeah, I bring, what shall I tell you?
Everybat,
cushions, all
candlesticks.
All kind of.
Can you remember something else? Like candles?
I brought silverware a little bit.
That was it. Is your name the same now as it was in Europe?
Yeah, William Langer is my name, and it's a name in here, and it's known the same thing.
Well, now, when you first came to the United States, the very first day, what impressed you the very most?
Well, it don't impress me much. The only thing is, later, when I find I was already among 2 months. I knew it's a free country. When I was in Europe, I knew it. You can't go through. They ask you right away for a passport, wherever you go. In the United States, you can go. You decide yourself to go to California. You go to California, and they don't ask you over there enough your name or where you come and what. In Europe, wherever you go, they ask you, who are you hiring if you have a passport?
Were you more impressed with the idea of having the freedom, or did you get impressed by the way the country looked, the buildings, the business?
In my life, I was all over Europe, and I was in the big cities. So nothing surprised me here in the United States about buildings. Yeah.
When you first came to Pittsburgh, what made impression here?
I like the freedom. That's why I came and I have in here. And I glad when I'm here.
Tell me about your first day in Pittsburgh. What was it like? Can you remember that?
Yeah. I came to Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh is a small country to me. Because that time when I came, it was 1921 or 20, I can remember, yeah. And Pittsburgh was not like today. I suppose when it shall be like today, when I saw Pittsburgh, I said to myself, this is America?
You were disappointed.
Yeah,
why
that's
were you
right.
disappointed?
Because I was in big cities, and nicer than here.
What did you do on your very first day?
And the first day, I'll tell you the truth. I was going with my brother-in-law. He showed me in downtown places, which nothing was to me, nothing. Guys, so
didn't
nice.
Didn't impress you at all?
Nothing.
Well, now, as you lived here the first 5 years,
yeah.
What was there anything about your life here in the first 5 years that disappointed you?
Nothing disappointed me in the United States.
Nothing at all?
No, because I came from a country where you don't have a right to say something or impress me in here, people voting. You can, oh, but in Europe was not like here. You got to say something by government.
You were mostly impressed then by the freedom of talking,
the
freedom of going anywhere.
Freedom, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was there anything in the first 5 years that you felt you were treated unjustly because you were an immigrant? Did people make fun of you because you were a greenhorn or something like this?
I don't have that because I was working for German people and I spoke German with them. I could speak 5 years English, not a word. I spoke with customer in German language. I sell suit in German language.
But nobody ever treated you badly?
No, not badly. The opposite. Good.
Nobody made fun of you because
no,
you were an immigrant?
No, not for my time.
And after you were here for 5 years, did you feel that you would eventually accomplish your goal that you came here?
100%.
And the main reason was what?
And the main reason is everything is in here, in the United States, whatever you take, it's good.
Mm-hmm. I would like you to tell me what your first home in Pittsburgh was like, your neighborhood, where the Jews
were. Well, I came to my brother where he was in a low neighborhood, but I moved out another way, moved out in a place where I paid $19.20, I paid in the third floor for two rooms, $35.
Was that
$19.20?
Mm-hmm. What kind of a neighborhood was it? Was mostly Jewish people or Gentiles too?
Most Jewish people. They were the street, the best street.
Where was that? Do you remember?
Dinwiddie Street.
Oh, Dinwiddie Street.
Yeah.
How long did you live there?
And the Witte Street, I lived 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Did somebody get it for you? How did you get it? How did you know to get that?
I was in bigger cities than Pittsburgh. I knew where to go and where to not to go and not to. You, I was going between Jewish people, so I could speak Jewish. I spoke.
They
to
sort
them.
Of told you where the
nice streets were. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's how you got it.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And what kind of work did you do when you first came? Still tailoring.
I do my whole life tailoring where I was.
And this training, of course, you got in Europe.
Hmm?
The training you got was in Europe.
I have people who they were working for me in Romania and in Russia.
Now, when you first started to work in the United States, how much did you earn?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to tell you. When I came, my bosses told me a tailor makes the highest between $35 and $40.
A week?
A week. But they offer me $55, and if my wife is going to have a baby, I'm going to have $5 more mm-hmm. every week.
Mm-hmm. Now, how many hours did you work for this?
48 hours at that time.
You started, what, 9 o'clock in the morning?
I'm 9 o'clock in the morning.
And you finished when?
5. Yeah,
uh-huh. So. Did you work on Saturdays or Jewish holidays?
Not one Jewish holiday, even Hanukkah. Not one Jewish holiday I was not working. Now I work for a Jew and I work Saturday.
And those days you worked only half a day Saturday? Or no?
Half a day Saturday.
And no holidays.
No. And holidays, I don't work for holidays. They have a calendar and they said to me, this is your holiday, you go home, Wolf.
And you stayed at this work as long as you stayed there?
Yeah, I stood there till get the depression.
Well, how many years was that?
About 10 years or 9 years, something like
that. Did you belong to a trade union?
I was belonging to the union, and my bosses paid for me $1,000 to take me out of the union. $1,000.
To take you out of the union?
Yeah, I have to fit, and I have to take care of customers.
Why did they take you out?
They didn't want to touch or belong to the union.
Why?
They hate the union.
And then, so you weren't a trade union member at all?
No.
Oh. And your life's work was continued to be tailoring?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now tell me this, if you could live this part of your life over,
yeah,
what kind of work would you like to go into yourself?
Yeah.
If you would have a choice.
The first thing is, I'll tell you, if I shall be here in United States, in Charlotte, mm-hmm, I will never pick up tailoring. I will never try to be a tailor or a carpenter.
What would you do?
I will go to school to learn and pick something better.
Like what?
Like whatever I pick, it's better than tailoring.
What would you think would be better?
If it's possible, I shall be an engineer, a doctor, one of the trades better. A tailor, not a tailor.
No. What, did you have any schooling in Pittsburgh? Did you go to school
Nothing.
At all? Never to night school
Nothing.
Or anything?
No.
Uh-huh. How did you learn to speak English?
Well, when I left my German tailors, mm-hmm, in the time of depression, my bosses tried to put me in Kaufman's store. But Kaufman said, first thing, he's not a union man. Mm-hmm. The second, they will do for Shellas. They did. But when I had the job, the union don't let me to work.
Mm-hmm. So, did you tell me how you learned to speak English?
Yeah. When I came to the place where I work now 38 years, mm-hmm, to talk to customers and take in work, you have to speak English. So little by little I learn. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever learn to write English?
It's very hard for me myself to write.
You can write your name.
Yeah, I can write my name. This is not writing. But I read a paper. I read a book. Mm-hmm. But why I can understand myself why I learned to read and not write myself. Right? I don't know.
To read but not write. No. And you weren't in school, so you didn't have any Gentile classmates.
No.
What about the Gentile people around you? How'd they treat you?
Very good.
Did you ever go in their homes? Did they invite you in?
Oh, yeah. Time, not all the time.
And, of course, you never went, you didn't have to go to Cheder because you already had your schooling.
Yeah.
Do you like music? Do you play a musical instrument?
I don't play musical instrument because I don't have the time when I was a boy, a kid, to learn. I told you I came not for rich people, and don't ask me things like that.
Tell me this, do you like to go to the Yiddish theater? Did you go to the theater, the Yiddish
All
theater?
The time I took my wife with
Where?
My boy, with my son. All Jewish theaters where they were in Pittsburgh, I never miss.
Did you go to any lectures?
Yeah, I belong to the Workman's Circle.
And
I was, in the young days, I took a part in...
You were a socialist?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And where were these lectures held? Right here? You remember where?
Yeah.
Where?
When I came, it was in Wiley Avenue.
In Wiley Avenue.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Did you ever go to the public libraries in Pittsburgh?
Well, I was going to see, but not to read. I don't have time. I work all the time.
Did you read any newspapers, Pittsburgh newspapers?
Every day. And almost,
Which ones do you remember? All the editions,
the latest.
You know, which papers did you
read? The Press, the Sound Tele, then it was. The Post Gazette.
Mm-hmm. When you came to the United States, did you think of yourself as a religious person? If so, in what ways were you religious? You thought of yourself?
I really believe in religious. Yeah, I'm a religious man. As far as things with my eye, my can say it's all right. Something which I don't, I'm not religious.
What do you mean by that?